You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
What's up and welcome everyone to Faces and Feels. I'm your host Ray Fuson and today I am joined by a very special guest. Now, I've spoken to you on things before, but I think it's on the other podcast. I don't think you've ever been on Faces and Feels, but everybody today, it is the one and only, the man behind the Countout Network, Faces and Feels' new home, Ichiban Sweetcast home. It's Ryan Neitzy. How are you today, bud?
I am great. No, we have never spoken on Faces and Feels before. We've spoken about Faces and Feels several times, at least once on video call. And then, I've definitely been on Ichiban, or I guess at the time,
You've done both.
Definitely did that once before for like a Forbidden Door thing. But no, this is the first time on Faces and Feels.
Well, thanks there you go. No worries. No, thank you for coming. It was a good idea. We were like, what am I going to do when I get back from Japan and things are kind of hectic and stuff? And we're like, we'll talk to the homie. That'll be sick.
And in a way, I did produce myself onto the
show.
You did
produce yourself into it. And I will say that's the most pressure I've ever received from a guest. Almost office place bullying, but
It was, look, the logic was simply, you have a week once you get back to schedule and all these sort of things. And you didn't, I think you were just starting before you left. And I didn't want you to really think about it too much while on your trip, especially since it was your birthday and everything.
Yes, thank you.
And I was just like, you already pitched me coming onto the show before.
Yeah.
Let's just do my episode. That way it gives you 2 weeks of figuring all the stuff out.
Absolutely. And I love it, especially since next weekend I'm away again as well. So there's some room to sort out. Technically, I need to record 2 episodes this weekend, but that ain't going to happen. So either way, I think it's going to be good to get this knocked out. And also, we did talk about it before, and I do think this will be an interesting episode because obviously you're a podcaster as well. Your actual career and job is in media and film and things like that. I don't even know the full story. But then also you're a person who, I know we have a lot of kind of similar things, and you're a person that sort of took the podcasting thing a little bit further in that you created your own network. And it was something that we've been friends for a while because of Hokkaido Shorts and Ichiban Sweetcast and stuff, where I sort of held out going, should we bring Faces and Feels over? Because I was very possessive of what I had, and I was like, maybe one day I'll do kind of what he did. But in the end, I was just like, I just need some fucking help, and Ryan is my friend, and he is the correct person to do it. So I guess before we get into your, like, full back history, how did that sort of interaction play out for you? Because you obviously were aware of me for quite some time, and then just your point of view, I guess, on the whole bringing Faces and Feels to Countout.
Yeah, well, after dragging me, kicking, joking. I was hoping I'd get a spit take. You were taking a sip
of almost water, covered this thing in tea. That's a risky choice.
Yeah. We are a whiskey, 7 a.m. over there.
No, whiskey.
I thought that's what I heard.
Irished up my black tea.
Yeah, these Australians go hard. So from my perspective, Faces and Feels was always in like the back of my head, even before Hokkaido Shorts became a thing. Because I think at the time you came on to Your Dose of Death, Lauren's show, at some point to be interviewed, and I believe that was before Hokkaido Shorts started.
It was,
It was always in the back of my head, and I think around that time, Faces and Feels was like more closely aligned to like Deathmatch, only because like that's where you were zagging at the time.
Yeah.
And so it was one of those things of like, in terms of like looking at like a network holistically perspective, it was sort of things of like, well, I like what you're doing, but I think it's going to be like too similar to Lauren.
We've already got a guy that's sort of trying to do the same thing. And Lauren and I were trying to do the same thing at the time, in that we were both seeking interviews with deathmatch wrestlers and doing stuff. Yeah, exactly. The only difference was, I guess, that he, as it progressed, I kept doing a lot more of that, and then he sort of zigged to a bit more of like a weekly sort of news kind of wrap-up kind of thing rather than interviews.
Plus interviews, but yeah, it was basically like it was similar ideas. Yeah. And then once you and Curtis went on, did whatever like guest episode you guys were doing for Super J Cast, mm-hmm. which I was a listener far back into right near the tail end of, I forget what it was called before Super J Cast, whatever the podcast
was. It
was
Purocast.
Yeah. I was a fan of theirs, and then it obviously morphed into Super J Cast. Mm-hmm. But then you guys did that guest spot and I enjoyed it. And I was thinking to myself, well, for some reason we don't have a New Japan show. That feels like a perfect idea. Let me pitch this to them. Mm-hmm. You guys foolishly said yes.
Yeah.
And now you've been trapped in my circle of hell.
Yeah, well, that is exactly how it went down.
And then fast forward, we became, better friends, sort of better online friends, I should say. And then it was still like in the back of my head of like faces and feels. It's sort of like, why not have faces and feels? I think it was still a thing in my head of I was still putting on the show. Like, this is still a deathmatch interview show, and I don't want to counteract with what Lauren's doing. Uh-huh. And then it became a thing of, like, Lauren went on hiatus. Faces and Fields became more, a little bit before that, but became more, less deathmatchy, still part of that vein, but more like Australian wrestling and European wrestling to a certain extent in terms of deathmatch scene, all these sort of things. And it sort of expanded your scope because, mm-hmm. as you said on the show, it's like, the show is basically whatever your interests are at the time and sort of waving and zig and zag and in that sort of sense. And so at that time for me, it was like when you pitched that, I was like, oh yeah, this is the perfect time. We should bring this on and make sense. And like I've said to you before, like privately, is like my whole thing of the network is like, if I'm able to help, like I think one of the hardest parts about being a podcaster is the like technical aspect of it.
Yes.
In regards to the editing and producing, and I mean, I can't help you with scheduling per se. I can't
like, you're like, I wish the fuck I could.
Yeah, I wish I could, but like, I mean, I can certainly like message people and be like, hey, you want to come on this show? Maybe that's something I could help out. I don't know. But like the idea
it's
of like
kind of the thing I need the least help with, like getting guests and interviews and stuff like that is not the issue. It's me having like physical time in my life where I'm like, can I sleep later than 6 a.m. on a weekend? You know what I mean? Like, can I like have dinner with my wife tonight, or do I have to go and fucking, try and do this thing? And that is the hardest thing. And especially being in Australia and the time differences and stuff, that's where I really struggle. And my job is pretty full on, during the day. And then I have other things I like to do, and I just end up feeling burnt out. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like there's no time for it to exist.
And our time difference is 12 hours. Literally, it's 7 a.m. where you are, 7 p.m. where I am. So it's like that weirdly works out in some sense. But for a lot of people, I imagine that's also sort of a difficult thing.
Yeah.
But unless I become your secretary, I can't solve that problem. but the idea of like, I think something that I try to provide with the network is help with that back end of things. Because I think, a lot of podcasting is very draining, and the most exciting part about being a podcaster is getting on a call with somebody and talking about whatever you want to talk about. Mm-hmm. And the most arduous, gear grinding, boring shit is where I think I can help out. And I graduated in, with a film degree in producing. Mm-hmm. So like that aspect of grinding in the gears is something that I have the broken enough brain where I like that.
Yeah.
I like solving that problem where I can. And so I was like, that is something that I can help you with. That's where you came to me and said, I need help with this part of it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, great. I think this is a match made in hell, of course. Mm-hmm. But I think we can get some stuff done.
Hell yeah, absolutely. And that is how it went down. I was really at a point where I was like, I don't know how I can do this, because I was doing all my own editing. Like, we're doing art. Like, my wife was doing my art for a long time, but she has a super busy career and stuff. And it was a point where you know, I would feel bad, like, going, okay, I need you to do this thing and I'm going to knock out two episodes and stuff. And she's just gone home from work. And I'm like, this just needs to stop. Like, it's really just too demanding on everything. And so I turned to you and I was like, I really just need help in, like, all that admin stuff. And you're like, homie, this is what I do. And yeah. And it has been great, you know, because like you said, besides the scheduling and stuff, me just finding, you know, time in my life and being comfortable with putting, you know, hours aside to do those things, all that stuff, like all that time, the editing of episodes, the uploading them online, the making the artwork, the posting to social media, the things like that, all that stuff that was really making me hate it is gone now for the most part. And I can just do an interview and send it to you and then kind of move on a bit with my life. And that definitely helps. So if anybody out there like has a podcast and is struggling with that thing, that's the sort of stuff that CountOut can offer, provided wrestling they're interested. Wrestling podcast. He's just not interested in anything that is not suitable. Yeah. And also, you know, you do diversify CountOut as well in that you kind of have shows for everything, but there isn't heaps of overlap between the shows. So obviously there's, you know, you don't want to step on anybody's toes and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. There's obviously that. I try to make a diverse portfolio and it's, you know, it's challenging because it's also tough, like finding shows and whatnot. And, you know, finding shows that one exist, two have a good enough audience, three that are enjoyable to listen to, four is like takes that are reasonable, you know, like we don't have a WWE show, obviously, on the network. And I would love to have one. But I think a lot of the times, like, it's very difficult to find a WWE podcast because a lot of it is like the sort of very sports entertaining fan driven ideas of like, you know, the aura of Roman Reigns and who, you know, the sort of ideas of like, I don't want to bury it too much, but that idea of just like, you know, I want to talk. I want to be able to listen to it through my perspective. I think I have a relatively okay ear at it, I guess. But it's something that like we're always trying to expand and find more things, and obviously stay in that wrestling landscape because it is a wrestling podcast network. But even then, if like people ask me for advice or whatever, I'm more than happy to give it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think given. Even stuff like that, like I would love to do a show like that. And I don't even actively watch WWE at the moment, but I would love to go back into it now that I've had sort of all this time off and go, okay, I'm going to do a show and it's like me coming back into WWE. I have so many fucking ideas. Unfortunately, I have to work to make a living and I can't podcast full time because also like you, I used to love doing the editing and putting together. I love all that stuff. I just don't like doing that on top of my full day of work and things on top of that. Yeah. That is the hardest part. You know, if a CountOut ever shoots off and we can be full-time employees of the CountOut network, I think we could get a lot done and probably revolutionize wrestling podcasting. It's hard.
But then a lot of those like spin-off ideas is like kind of like why I came up with like the Patreon. Was because, you know, I'm doing Ring Post Radio every single week. Yeah. And Ring Post Radio is a podcast with me and Scotty Edwards where we sort of got together and started, you know, he covers the Joshi beat. You know, he's very good, I guess, I don't know. I don't want to say reporter, I guess, but like he covers a lot. He does a lot of interviews and stuff. And his beat is Joshi. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I became friends with him online and he has a lot, he watches like everything else like I do, and he has a lot of thoughts and discussions about everything else, but because he covers Joshi, it's like he doesn't have an outlet to discuss those sort of things.
Yeah,
and that's sort of how, and also I don't have an outlet to discuss all of the wrestling I watch other than discussing things with my wife. Mm-hmm. And so to avoid annoying her for the rest of my life, then we sort of, you know, created a Ring Post Radio.
Why I created Vices and Feels.
Yeah, exactly. I think a lot of like white men just need to get the podcast to talk about their things and not annoy their wife.
You know how you see those memes where it's like, hey, if you're like, you know, over 30 with facial hair and enjoy wrestling or movies or horror or whatever, you don't need to have a podcast. I would disagree. I feel like you do need to have a podcast, not because necessarily everyone wants to hear it, but sometimes you just need to get your dumb white man take like into the world and out of your head and out of your wife's ears and just like vent on it a little bit. There's a certain thing where you're just like, I just want to talk about it. And I'm in Australia. Very few of my friends give a fuck about any of it. So like I have to share it. Otherwise you're just like internal, like, you know, who are you talking to?
It's either that or therapy. And I don't want to annoy a therapist with my wrestling takes either. So just sort of thing of like, you know, that's the lane I've picked.
Paying for therapy and you just sit on the couch and you're just breaking down like the bloodline storyline.
It wouldn't be breaking down the bloodline story. It'd be like, Kento Miyahara is just like not getting pushed enough anymore, but it makes sense because the young guys in all Japan, like it's just like doing a minute thing that, you know, I can talk about WWE with a common person, but I can't discuss like all Japan or new, like, what, oh man, Kaito Kiyomiya is just like, I don't know what they're trying to do with this guy in Noah. You know, like these sort of things. It's like I have no avenue to get those out of
you. You go through it, you're like, he's got the look. He had the blow up with Okada. He's going on the thing. The coat looks great. And the guy's like, what are you talking
about? His rivalry with Oiwa was really solid and the Musketeers, all these sort of stuff, but Oiwa's gonna leave. All these sort of things. But so that's sort of where Ring Post Radio came about. And to tie it back to what I was talking about is that the Patreon was a way for me to do spin-off this topics and podcasts that I want to talk about, that I want to like research, because a lot of it is that like I don't know a lot of like old wrestling stuff, not like super like not 1900 sort of George Hackenschmidt stuff out there right now nowadays, but like the stuff that interests me that I have never seen before that I want to learn more about. It's a way for me to get that stuff out there. Like that doesn't work on Ring Post Radio, that I don't necessarily want to constrict myself to a timetable, weekly timetable or something like that on another podcast or take that on and just be like, okay, I'm interested in discussing the history of sort of mask versus mask matches. Right. Yeah. And so I'm like, okay, let me go to the Patreon and do a whole show called Mascara Madness, where we discuss random mask versus mask matches in CMLL, AAA. I think we did one in Dragon Gate, you know, that sort of thing. Like, let me just like research this. I have two projects working on right now. And then I obviously have the ballot as well. Like they're going to be like going on ideally all year long next year. They're going to be like every month or so. So it's like something where I can catch up and do something else that won't fit in Ring Post Radio, but I can discuss and talk about it in like other avenues.
Yeah, that's great. And, you know, it's a great spot for anybody that, you know, kind of wants that little bit more niche content and, you know, those very specific ideas can actually find that there. If anybody listening wants to sort of understand what's on the Patreon and kind of get the blasts of, you know, your new pitches or like the different kind of things, like, because you obviously did like the best of the Bosch, best of the Super Juniors and things like that. You've been making your way through that. Where do they see those updates and stuff? Is it just on like the account at Instagram and stuff? It has like the next sort of post of what's coming up on the Patreon, or is there a Patreon specific Instagram that I don't know about?
No, it there isn't a Patreon specific thing. The problem with like the news, the auto publishers that I have, they don't pull from Patreon for whatever reason. So I got to do it manually, and I don't always remember to do it manually. I think on Patreon now that you can, without becoming a member, you can become a free member, where I believe you still get like the notifications of the posts. Uh-huh. That are, you know, the paid membership posts, but you're able to like sort of track it. And if you want to join, you can. They also have like a 7-day free trial you can do nowadays.
Yeah.
But like this idea of like, I believe now you can just sort of like follow the Patreon, and when you feel ready to like pay for something, then you can do that. They also just started like a la carte service where you can pay per audio instead of a monthly subscription.
That's pretty cool.
It's cool, but I don't know how to implement it yet, like in terms of dollar amounts and stuff.
Do you have to set it yourself?
Yeah, I have to do it like manually, and I just don't like how much, like the idea of like how much does this cost, and I'll, like, you know, I'm not sure. And part of me is like, just get the 7-day free trial and you can listen to most of it probably if you crash listen to it for a whole week.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm sort of thinking about that stuff, but mm-hmm. but yeah, I think you can follow as being like a free member on the Patreon. Patreon.com/countoutpod. Yeah. And I'm gonna do my plugs at the end, but I'm gonna sprinkle them in wherever I can.
Exactly. Well, that's it. We're already at the end when we need to go back to the start. So let's rewind now and we'll zoom all the way back to how you got into professional wrestling anyway. So when you think about it, when you rewind all the way back, who were some of the first, yeah, exactly. Who were some of the first faces of professional wrestling that stood out to you and kind of caught your interest? Like, what is this thing?
I've been thinking about this question ever since I started editing the show, because it's always the first question you ask. I'm like, it is. God, I got to have something prepared.
Yeah.
I first saw wrestling via the SmackDown versus Raw video games.
Okay.
When I was younger. Yeah,
absolutely.
I played it at a friend's house over a sleepover one weekend. Then I got, I think it was SmackDown versus Raw 07, and I played that for a little bit. And then I realized that SmackDown, I could watch Friday Night SmackDown, Friday nights at my house in the basement and just watch it on TV. Mm-hmm. I don't think I realized that Raw existed or something, but I was just watching SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
So the first two people that really caught my attention were Rey Mysterio,
mm-hmm.
because I think when you're a young person, by the way, I'm a young person.
I don't believe
no offense. So like Raymond, like I think being a young person that he's very, he's a smaller guy and he's always the underdog and there's always a thing to attach there. Mm-hmm. I think this was in the midst of his Chavo Guerrero feud, not the one where his knee gets injured, but where he's coming back from the injury to get his revenge.
Okay.
And then another guy is Batista, because I think this is on the build up to, this is all on the build up to WrestleMania 23. So he's about to face the Undertaker and he is also from Washington, D.C. I am originally from the Maryland DMV area, DMV, D.C., Maryland, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there was sort of a hometown quality to rooting for one David Batista.
Yeah.
Sure. So those were the two guys that really started it. And then you get more into like The Undertaker and Jeff Hardy. And then I think around this time, CM Punk starts becoming more of a thing. I start watching ECW and Raw. And then ECW goes away. And then Raw becomes a thing. And, you know, and then you fall out of love. You fall back in love. You find a bunch of New Japan GIFs on Reddit. You fall in love with that. You realize there's more doors out there and yada, yada, yada. However many years later, here I am.
Yeah, there you go. I got to say, in all the time I've been doing this podcast, I don't think I've ever heard the name Dave Batista as one of the ones. So you've got a first in. I've definitely heard Ray, obviously. What era was Batista in at this point?
What era?
Yeah, like is he the collection guy for D-Von or is he like part of the evolution?
I'm younger than that. This is 2007. So this is like post-evolution, way, way post-evolution by like a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing his own thing. He's kind of the top guy on SmackDown, but The Undertaker's also around. He's just kind of like, it's the post-evolution split where he wins the title, goes to SmackDown, and he's just like there for a while and he's the top guy there.
Yeah, right. No. Yeah. Basically, once he's on top, basically, by that point.
Yes.
Then.
It's just like now he's like fighting the Undertaker, and then the Undertaker is on top, and all these sort of things.
Okay.
Well, then he fights Edge and Vicky Guerrero and the Vicky Guerrero family or whatever the heck that was.
You must definitely be younger than I think you are then.
Uh-huh. Would you like to take a guess on my age?
Not online. I won't do it to you.
I don't want to make you feel bad.
Or I already feel bad enough about my age, so we'll leave that there. So from that point then, how obviously – like I interview a lot of wrestlers and then this is about the time where I'm like, and then when did you start training and things like that? But you obviously did not do that. You went into, you know, your studies. We talked about your degree and things like that. So was that straight out of high school into, you know, media and producing and things like that?
Pretty much. Well, high school, you know, was your usual classic high school shenanigans.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was applying for colleges for a music degree. I went to college freshman year in New York for a computer science degree, and then I transferred to another college for sophomore, junior, senior year for a film degree.
Okay.
So it took a little bit, and then it was in college that's sort of where I rediscovered wrestling, fell right back in love with wrestling. Mm-hmm. During that sort of phase of my life, and obviously here we are. But yeah, I graduated with a film degree from Stevenson University on the producing track. I had a senior project. I directed my own short film. Mm-hmm. It's not public anywhere, but I can share it with you if you like. It's pretty solid. The ending is a guy ripping off another person's face. So pretty good, pretty solid.
Okay,
pretty hardcore.
Yeah. So is it a horror movie, or it just becomes that?
It's sort of like a psychological like thing, I guess, or like a David Lynchian psychological thing, and then it ends with the sort of a silhouette of a guy ripping off another guy's face.
Jesus Christ.
And then in college, that's also where I met my wife, and she was in the film program as well. And so it's all kind of worked out for me. It's where I started and where I ended. It kind of worked out quite well for me.
Absolutely. And you mentioned music, like, and studying for that. Were you playing in bands and stuff at the time?
Not in high school. In middle school, I was a part of a band. I learned how to play the drums in fourth grade, and then that expanded to like orchestral percussion. Uh-huh. And I did that all throughout high school. Uh-huh. And then I learned drum set as well, and did that for several years, was in a band for that, you know, in middle school. High school, we all, you know, separated, went our different paths, but I still play the drums. I did like orchestral percussion. We were part JRTC school, which is like a military school.
Okay.
So
doing like marching stuff and percussion. And stuff.
Yeah. So I did regimental band. When you see like a marching band, there's like the guy with the four or five drums.
Yeah. Yeah. Wrapped around
that
his
was,
body.
That was me.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was
sure.
me. Uh-huh. I love playing those. Then I did like jazz ensemble. I did like everything, which had the drum set, obviously. So I was able to play, you know, get my fill there. Mm-hmm. And then my thought was going into college was I was going to be a musician. And then through parents being like, you know, there's no money in that. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, sure. Yeah, whatever. And then I switched to computer science where there is money. And then I say, no, I want to go back to not making any money and becoming a film major.
Go get a film. Absolutely. And so yeah. Then I know as well that recently, and this is my sprinkle of American news and things like that, I know like you were affected by like strikes and stuff, right? Like Film Actors yeah. Guild, things like that. I remember you being like, I can't work at the moment because we're all on strike.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the bad news about working in the film industry is that your union contracts with the studios come up every couple of years, you know, like any contract, I guess. And so it was like my wife and my girlfriend at the time moved down in 2019 to Atlanta, Georgia, mm-hmm. which if you know American film stuff, there's like three major filming locations. It's obviously Hollywood, mm-hmm. Hollyweird as no one calls it. There's New York. And recently in the past like 10 years, it's Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay.
Atlanta, Georgia is the cheapest of those three options. So we moved down to Atlanta in 2019. 2020 was the pandemic.
Yeah. Sweet.
and then 2022 was it 2022 I think kind of the end of 2022 2023 definitely is when the strikes had the big time strikes with the Actors and Writer Guild stuff strikes happened, where that went on way longer than anyone really expected, basically the entire year, where I and my wife and I both work in the industry, both completely out of work because my wife is a set dresser. So like if you see the sets, she's basically helping build those sets. Not construction, but designing the sets.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Design.
She's worked on Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Wow.
She's worked on I can say this because I don't care. I didn't sign anything. She's currently ending up her role as a set dresser on the new live action Moana. Mm. So there's a wrestling connection there.
Yeah, yeah.
But she has a lot of cool stuff. I do the boring stuff. Like I said, I work in accounting. So as you can guess, I like the Gears. So like, even though our unions weren't striking, because the actors and the writers and I think the directors for like a hot second were all striking, you can't film anything, right? You know, you can't film anything.
It's like, so, what set can she dress if nobody's filming anything? Like,
yeah, if there's no actors to be on set, you know? Or writers to write scripts for these sort of things. Yeah. So because of that, like, everything fully stopped for pretty much an entire year. And to put more perspective on my life, like, this is 2023 when the strikes happened. I want to say April, January of that year. So a couple months earlier, my wife and I bought the house that we're currently in. Mm-hmm. Strikes happen a couple months later, and we are getting married that November.
Jesus Christ. And no work whatsoever.
No work. So that April, whatever it was, to December, January of 2024, whatever, we have no work. I didn't get another job until like June the next year in 2024. My wife was able to get work, but because that's the other thing. It's like, once the strikes were over, part of the strikes are the writers. So because once the strikes officially ended, the writers can go back to writing stuff. So that means
that like, takes time, right?
That takes time to write freaking movie scripts.
Yeah.
So it's like, once, you know, they have to then write this stuff, and then we can crew up people and film things. And, you know, then there's studios that don't have a lot of money. You have like the Warner Media merger with Discovery, where it's like, now they don't have any money either. So it's just like, now there's even less productions that exist nowadays, pre-pandemic, pre-strike. So it's just, it's tough. Yeah. But, you know,
were you out there just getting work anywhere you could? Like, are you like, time to go deliver pizzas? Like, how do you survive in this kind of time?
I definitely, the industry is built off of like who you know and all these independent contractors. I'm technically an independent contractor, obviously. So in machine work, it's like unemployment checks, because technically the work, the company I worked under no longer exists. So yeah. I can claim unemployment checks.
Sure.
Fun fact. And in between that, it's, you know, working at coffee shops and working Charlotte Waller's coffee shop in Atlanta, Georgia, working on those sort of different things, or finding time to do podcasting
exactly,
and making the billions of dollars.
I have seen the podcasting checks and I know you're lying. but hey, now we're through it now, right? Like, you guys are both back to work. Things are going
well. She's back to work. She's been back to work. I shot Naked Gun and that was it. And then now we're
working. Is there a new Naked Gun movie coming out?
Yeah. That's coming out next year. Starring Liam Neeson and Pamela Anderson. Directed by one of the Lonely Island guys.
Wow. Okay. So Liam Neeson is what? Leslie Nielsen's role.
Yes, essentially. I believe he's playing his son.
Okay, maybe?
I think.
I wonder if he's playing it like Taken, you know, like a super straight man in amongst all this wackiness, or if he's being like wacky.
I actually don't know. I have read parts of the script, and parts of the script I read, his character did. I cannot tell you because I did sign an NDA, but I can tell you offline. I can tell you offline. Who cares?
You never would do that because you signed an NDA.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that at all. Of course, I'll tell you. But I'm not going to do it. I don't actually know, because like the Naked Gun thing is like Leslie, he's kind of the straight man in a wacky world role. You know what I mean?
Like, he kind of is a little bit, I guess. Yeah.
He plays everything straight.
Yeah.
But like crazy stuff is happening constantly around him, but he's always playing it straight.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be shocked if there's a Taken reference. I don't remember if there is, but I would be genuinely shocked if there isn't.
Yeah.
I mean, just the fact alone that it's Liam Neeson and Leslie Nielsen, like that's a funny bit for me.
Yeah.
Like the two LN, like there's something
so
there.
So close. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. The filmmaker, director, writer, brain, all these sort of things. The creative in my head is like, okay, what can you do with this? You know, what ideas can you do from a Naked Gun?
Sure.
Sequel sort of reboot sort of thing. But
Oh, well, that's all very fun. And so amongst all of this then, at what year do you start CanOut, or even how did the idea for CanOut come about?
Yeah, I started doing a podcast immediately out of college with my friend Mikey Manfredi.
Mm-hmm. Shout out Mikey. Mikey's a lovely man as well.
The most Italian Jersey name I think that has existed, Mikey Manfredi. You almost want to do like Italian hands when you say Mikey Manfredi.
Gabagool.
But I love him to death. He and I started doing a podcast directly out of college called Hit the Books. Mm-hmm. The premise of that show was that every single week we would book SmackDown and Raw. I would book Raw. He would book involved into I would book Raw and he would book SmackDown every single week,
which is great.
It's a very fun idea. And like that was a good like creative way to coming out of college or everything. We did that for several years, but then I started having ideas of like, oh, I want to do other side projects or whatnot outside of that. Our own,
fantasy booking podcast. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yes, that extend out from there. And then he wanted to also do his own thing, and we both wanted to keep working on Hit the Books, but we also had these other ideas. And then that sort of just formulating of like, also knowing and doing a bunch of research, and this idea of like, networks are always a good thing because they help with exposure and all these sort of things. And then we just came up with the idea of like, look, what if we just sort of started a network? We had these, I think it was like at the time, like three shows. What if we just start a network? Almost immediately following that, Lauren came on with Your Dose of Death, and it was like, okay, we can just like build something slowly here. And this was about 2019-ish, maybe, I want to say, maybe going in, maybe 2020, mm-hmm. where the network officially starts. I want to say maybe 2020. Maybe late 2019, maybe early 2020, something like that, where the network officially start. I need to look back because there's a good chance we're past a 5-year mark. I gotta look into that. But we started the network around there and just started bringing on other shows. Obviously, Lauren was like the first one with Your Dose of Death in terms of like an outside person coming in. Mm-hmm. And then we bring in more shows. Some shows leave, yada yada yada, and that sort of evolves and grows from there.
Absolutely. And that is, that's when I first heard the name CanOut, I guess, like through Lauren and just through us moving.
When was the first time you heard about CanOut?
Yeah, it would have been through that, like listening to Your Dose of Death. Because I think, how did I find out about Your Dose of Death? Lauren approached me. That's what it was. He DM'd me and was like, hey, I'm doing this thing or whatever. You kind of do similar things. Do you want to like come on or whatever? You know what I mean? Like team up and do something together. And that was then how like I listened to his thing and heard the CanOut bumper and stuff for the first time. So yeah, that would have absolutely been how I heard it. Yeah, absolutely. And we were both just trying to get interviews and things like that. And we helped each other out with different interviews and things like that. I'm trying to think.
That was also part of it is like I talk about the admin thing. Like Mikey graduated college film degree as well in editing.
Yeah.
Okay. And so like that was also part of it is that like we both had these like expertise in sort of like editing and producing. And we were just sort of like, well, what if we just expanded this out into like a full on network?
Yeah. You can help people. Because am I right in that you guys sort of help Lauren create Your Dose of Death, right? Because like when I first teamed up with him and things like that, I was like, oh yeah, and what do you use for editing? So I don't do any of that. He's like, I just record this and I send it to my people. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, yeah.
My people.
I don't know if he used the words my people. That I might be projecting on him, but he's like, I send it to the CanOut guys. Essentially, they sort it all out.
Yeah.
Which was crazy 100%. To me because I had already been, I was many episodes in at that point, what I mean? And had been doing it all.
That's probably where like the idea for you started and germinated of like,
I was like, what, do less work?
How do I get people?
Yeah, exactly. I want people. But to be fair, at that time I would have had no interest because when I get into something, you would have seen it in me when I first mm-hmm. came on with Okada Shorts, when you're like, we want to do this kind of thing. And that would have been that type of thing.
A little bit of that push pull between us of like you being like, this is my,
You guys would be like, yeah, we could blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I'll fucking edit it. Like,
yeah, because like, we can do it. We can help. No big deal. And you're like, I got it. I'm like, all
right. But I'm a psycho, right? Like, yeah.
Like, I'm lying. It's like, fine. What less thing for me to
yeah,
do?
Okay, you're like, great. Cool. I actually have to do nothing for this show to exist because Rafe does everything. Because at the time, like, when I do something, I'm all about it, right? And then eventually I burn myself out and then I'm like, and now I don't care.
But it's also like, I get it. Like, in a lot of ways, these are like, to do a very cliche phrase, like a lot of these podcasts is like our own baby. It's like, you know, you come up with the idea and then you work on it. And it's like a constant weekly, but really like everyday thing, right? Yeah. Like it's always in the sort of the back of your head or your, for your case, you're messaging people. For me, like when I was doing Hit the Books, it was like, I was booking weekly wrestling shows.
Yeah, I know, which isn't easy to do. And you're trying to keep it interesting and stuff. And you have to approach it like it's real.
I had to do like, come up with storyline advancements.
You're filling 3 hours of TV a week.
Yes. Yeah. And all these sort of things. And on top of like watching everything that I wanted to watch and stuff and maintain relationships and all these sort of things and move to another state.
Yeah.
So it's like this thing of like, you know, it was always in the back of my head of having this podcast and doing these things. And I get like not wanting to give up like not I don't want to say like agency or something, but sort of like you don't want to lose it being your thing. And I think through like either wearing yourself down or me wearing you down with Okada shorts, it was sort of like, no, this is your thing. I'm trying to help you help you get your thing to be more what you want it to be in terms of the actual show, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, whatever, it was
a joint of both. Yeah, it was.
I'm a babysitter. That's absolutely what I am.
It was me, learning to trust you, like that it would turn out fine. And then also me burning myself out to like, I no longer cared about the quality either. Like,
and I can care about that quality, baby. Yeah. That's my
job. Like, Ryan's level of quality care is enough for me. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so I'm comfortable with whatever he handles, like, will be fine. Whereas I used to, and less so with Okada Shorts, but when it comes to interviews, with Faces and Feels, I feel a lot of responsibility about that, to deliver that person, the wrestler or whoever it may be, their best possible interview that they can like show to people and stuff. So I don't want to have them like coughing on it, or if they slip up and say something they shouldn't, edit it out or whatever. You don't get many notes from me now with Faces and Feels. I kind of feel like I'm pretty good at the most part as a host, like sort of steering things where they need to be. And if there's ever anything, I usually just go, hey, at 5 minutes, can you just deal with this or whatever? And that's normally fine. And the quality is good enough and everything works out, you know. But there have been interviews in the past where it's like, yo, dude, I have put this interviewee on my back and I'm carrying them through this interview. You know what I mean? Yes. Like, this dude can't keep it together here. And I don't mean like can't string together a sentence, but like interviewing can be very hard, where you literally like go, and so, man, what was it like when you did this? And you get back, good. And you go, okay, cool. And then so you're like, now I'm going to be both sides of this conversation and you're just going to feature in it, right? Like, and so when you're doing that kind of stuff, that shit takes a lot of editing. And I've had earlier interviews especially where people are like, that interview was great. And I'm like, these motherfuckers don't even know how long it took me to make this sound like this person is interesting.
Yeah. And again, like, I think going back to the idea of like the behind the scenes drainage of that sort of stuff is like, obviously, I think like with more experience doing a podcast and with the invention and purchase of a cough button to mute myself when I do cough or sneeze or whatever, like, the sort of like experience of becoming like a better podcaster like helps out a lot in terms of conversation flow or thinking about different things or managing water drinkage, you know, those all these sort of ideas, and like, or reading someone else and like being able to figure out based off of, you know, whatever how the conversation's going, like how to drive the interview, right?
Yeah,
all those sort of things happen as you get better with time, but like there's still like, that is something that like it gets better to a closer product naturally through experience. Mm-hmm. But early on, like you still want to put out a great quality product for people, but like they never experience the behind the scenes editing process of a podcast of cutting out all the pause and stuff. Another podcast I did before, I did two podcasts before I got into wrestling podcasts. One was called Round Robin and the other was called Pretty Wizard. And now Pretty Wizard was a Dungeons and Dragons podcast where we recorded every week 4 hours of audio
before you met your girlfriend. Clearly,
this is as I'm meeting my girlfriend.
Oh, okay. I understand why the podcast didn't exist anymore. You had to get out.
Well, it ended. It did actually. We had like almost like 100 episodes or something. They're still online somewhere. But the idea was it was five people, that fifth person being a rotating guest out of every session, and everyone had their own microphone in one room. And we had microphones on stands in front of us. We had them all connected to a mixer recorder in the middle of us. We had all of our stuff in front of us, obviously. We built out of C stands and blankets, basically like soundproof burying walls.
You built a studio. Yeah.
We built a studio in a classroom to record all.
Also, you were able to do it like, did you have it set up somewhere and you were able to do it weekly, like at uni, basically, at college?
We had to, because in the film program, we could like rent equipment. Every week we would rent a crap ton of equipment, set it up that night, record 4 hours worth of audio, then deconstruct it and return it that night.
And then was it like a school project? So you were then able to do the editing like at school?
No, I took the SD card after we'd done recording, slapped it onto my laptop, and then recorded it and then edited it on my computer however many weeks.
And that's individual vocal channels for every single person, all the coughs, all the breaths, all the whatever.
Because, again, I'm an insane person, I had five different channels of audio that all had to get synced up. And obviously we clapped and did all the syncs and all the stuff, obviously. But cut out any dead air, which when you're in a D&D setting, there's a lot of thinking and all that sort of stuff. So I would cut stuff like that out, or bathroom breaks or whatever, because we are recording for 4 hours straight. Cut out coughs, cutting out all those sort of stuff. I would then do a second pass where I would add sound effects because I wanted to as a creative idea. And then I would do a third pass where I would create my own score and music for the podcast.
Jesus Christ.
Then add into it.
Man. Oh my God. This is about, you were doing like, what is it? Critical Role and things like that. You were doing that shit like basically back when they were starting, right? At the same time.
And there was no reason for me to do it other than I had the time and I had the creative drive to do it. But all of that stuff took like so many hours to put out even one. Like I'm talking about that. All that stuff had to come down to putting out one and a half hour program every week, right? For however
you were putting it out weekly.
I believe, were we weekly? I want to say we were weekly. We're either weekly or bi-weekly. We might have been bi-weekly.
Jeez. Every other week. Even then, it's still crazy.
Yeah. I don't remember if it was weekly or every other week.
So
but still.
Much work.
Yeah. And so much work. But like all of that work goes into a podcast that like the audience member is only listening to a D&D show that happens every week. They are not listening, experiencing the sheer amount of time that goes into it.
Yeah.
And if, again, going all the way back to Countout Network is like, I fully get a grasp of how much work has to get put into like a creative vision.
Yeah.
And if I can in any way help you with that creative vision and ease the hardest part of it, the most annoying and time-consuming part of it, then that is what I want to do to help people. That's where like the network with Mikey started from.
Yeah.
We have this experience. Let's help people with that.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Well, that you really do like going through that. That's like getting as far into the weeds in like editing and stuff as it goes. And if you're having a good time doing that, then you're having a good time. To be honest, that actually sounds so fun, and I would like absolutely love to. I don't know, if I ever retire or anything like that, that is absolutely the kind of dumb shit that I would want to do. Like, yeah. I love the ideas of that. I even had a, and it's never been finished, I need to talk to him, but I had started doing a podcast with a local wrestler who's very well known for kind of starting the local wrestling here, where we were kind of doing like an extended interview for him, which wasn't so much like an interview like this. It was like the story of Perth wrestling, you know, and with him telling it and then stretching it out. And then I was going to begin getting in other guys that were there at the time and piece it together, kind of like an audio documentary, you know what I mean?
That sounds legitimately cool. That legitimately sounds awesome.
It's a very cool idea, but then like COVID happened and we kind of couldn't make it thing, and you know, and he's got things going on and injuries and blah blah blah, and then we've never touched kind of base on it again, and I can't even imagine having the time currently in my life, but I would still really like to do it. I think it would be like an awesome way, and now that I am sort of involved with Perth wrestling and I know like a lot of these people, or at least acquaintances with them, I feel like I could really put it together in like an interesting way. But it's like the only way to do it is like full time. Like, you know?
Well, I think like, I feel like for you, well, number one, my thought process here would be, okay, now you, this is the problem is you now have my creative producing brain. I put the hat on all of a
You're
sudden.
Suddenly interested.
As you explained it, I felt myself putting the producing cap on and being like, all right, how do we accomplish this? Yeah. Number one, if it's an audio documentary, then realistically what you just need to do is start getting a bunch of interviews of a bunch of different people. Uh-huh. Or at least start at that one point with like an episode one, and I think it's something that like you're gonna record it, but we're gonna sit on it for a while as we sort of flesh the stuff out. And because, you know, you might get an interview months down the line that would fit really well early on, something like that. So like we would do that and then you would slowly expand it from there. But then we would have all this audio that we can then figure out, you know, put all in the pig pen, figure all that stuff out together. And then, you know, and then tell that story moving forward. Right.
I am just thinking this, that you might have to edit this episode, because I don't think we need to talk about this online, and I think we need to talk about it offline. Because I am now developing a whole new concept where we could do this for multiple promotions.
Oh, yeah. There is a Patreon series that I'm working on. Do I talk about it here? Yeah, I will.
Well, let's just call 52 minutes. Remember this when you're in the edit. That we're just going to edit this little bit out where we talk about
it. I feel like we should leave it in.
Then edit out me talking about it, talking about editing it out.
I think we should leave that in.
Yeah. All right, then. Well, then anybody that's listening, you know what? We ain't editing shit. Fuck it. We're developing this.
On the podcast, he's not doing any work. This is his work.
Absolutely. Okay. On the 3rd of November, fucking 2024, we're coming up with this idea live on air. Nobody rip it off. And if you do, we're coming for you. But
how do we copyright this?
I don't know, which is why I said you should fucking edit it out. But here we are. So, but there is, if we could get it done in this first place, I think there is an opportunity where we could maybe do ongoing sort of audio documentaries helping promotions tell the story of how they came to be and how they got to where they are, you know?
Well,
the Perth's a very
like-
– just sorry to cut you off. Perth's a very interesting one in because we're so isolated, all of the guys are still here for the most part. A few of them have gone on to become very famous and very successful wrestlers. But they all train themselves, you know what I mean? Like here, like they were just like grown men rolling around in mattresses in backyards, and they turned it into like a real legitimate thing, some of which going on to like WWE, those same guys now currently, you know, tag team champions in New Japan and in the faction with the champion. Like these are Perth people. Like it's pretty wild.
I'm trying to say who I'm trying to think of famous wrestlers that are from Perth. Shane Thorne.
Yeah, exactly. Shane Hayes. I see.
Is Mikey Nichols also from Perth?
Yeah, absolutely. So TMDK originated in Perth with them.
Hartley Jackson.
Hartley Jackson is also is and then he also spent a lot of time in South Australia, but he is also, you've seen him on New Japan TV recently, but he's an All Japan wrestler and lives in Japan full time. Chris Weiss from like 0-1 from champion.
I don't know what's happening at 0-1. They're like falling apart in a weird way.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing. 0-1. You haven't seen the video yet, but when we did our 1 year anniversary show for Dude, Where's My Ring, both Mikey Nichols and Chris Weiss wrestled on the show in death matches. That's cool. Like,
that sounds awesome.
It was fucking crazy.
I love Mikey Nichols. He's been doing great stuff.
Is the most insane bump I've seen live. At Dude, Where's My Ring, Mikey Nichols did it. It's like a really tall stage in this club, and he picked up James Hartness, who's not a small boy, and he fucking Death Valley driving him off the stage through like a barbed wire table, like just straight to the dance floor. He picks him up, and I'm like we had the commentary on the stage, and I'm like, no, what the fuck's he doing? Mikey just turns, that motherfucker just winks at me and then just goes, and it was the most savage noise I've ever heard in my life, and I was like, they're both fucking dead. When you hear my commentary, when that video gets up, like we're a little bit behind in things. There's been some changes in cameras and things like that. So when that video goes online on YouTube, I'll send it to you, and you'll hear me think my friend just died, like, because it was fucked.
Look, they don't call him Mad Mikey Nichols for nothing.
Dude, he loves it. He's an absolute – he was like, I didn't realize I'd never been in a death match. Better fucking knock that out real quick. He loves it. He's always trying to do psycho shit. All of the guys, like all the wrestlers are like, this motherfucker's out of control. Like, he's a psycho.
But, yeah, I've always liked the idea of, like, doing, like an audio documentary of, like, a town. Like, obviously, like, I'm in Atlanta. Like, that is a rock – wrestling, and that as an audio documentary would take a century probably put together, right?
Yeah.
But like, I like the idea of like doing like the smaller territories, sort of like that Perth wrestling idea, or even like, you know, you're sort of on the ground floor of like Scottish death match, but obviously,
absolutely,
you know, in the broader scope of Scottish wrestling, you know, where's that look? You know, what does that look like?
Yeah.
But yeah, like I've always liked that idea, and I think someone in your position of like you're in the space currently, and you have the contacts, like, you know, who else is going to do it but you?
Exactly. Well, nobody here is going to do it. I'm the only I'm the only podcaster that I know of in Perth. I think there might be one other guy, but he like covers like WWE and stuff like that. I don't know him well. Nobody really does what I do, I guess, here. So, yeah, I think there's some legs there. We might need to workshop that. I might need to circle back around to that guy and sort of finish it, because the first interview we did was not, like I said, it wasn't like a normal Faces and Feels like run through it. It was like chronological, this is how it happened. And it went kind of thing. And then we were like, and now we'll go on to part two sort of thing. So it's almost like I would need to like have him finish the chronological story, you know, up to wherever.
Yeah.
And then go to say Mikey, because he was there. He was one of those guys. And it was interesting because like there was sort of two crews that sort of started doing backyard wrestling at the same time. Then they formed together, and then they had a mic, and they did crazy stuff too. Like fucking WWE came here like with SmackDown, and they like jumped the barricade and like had signs for their own wrestling company and stuff like that. And like they did an event where they hired a boxing ring, and they ended up on the newspaper because Mikey tried to fucking jump off something and busted his neck and went to hospital. And like they did, they were really trying as essentially almost untrained guys to like start a wrestling promotion. It's pretty wild.
That's right.
Really.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they really are a very interesting case to sort of follow, you know.
And from Mikey, you can probably get Hartley, who
I've spoken to Hartley a bunch of times. We just
were
both always too drunk, and we never get around to finishing organizing it.
But like that idea of like he would be a little bit older than Mikey Nichols.
So they all call him their senpai basically because he was sort of ahead of them a little bit. But yeah, Mikey and the person I'm speaking about is Davis Storm, who's they call the godfather of Australian wrestling. And he always says that Hartley is the godfather of Australian wrestling. Like when, exactly. So, but all those kind of guys, yeah, very interesting. I wonder if they'll hear this before I speak to any of them. Anyway,
I think it comes out next week, so you have a week.
yeah, exactly. I have to start putting it together. Anyway, nobody else do this. This is my idea, and it has been for fucking 5 years. So, yeah. So,
but that's also like the thing about like. You know, the podcast like the other aspect of creating a network and podcast creation is not just acquiring podcasts, but creating ideas and like tapping into somebody that has an idea that needs help, maybe figuring out how to express that. Mm-hmm. Like that is what we just did.
Yeah.
That's how like sort of Okada Shorts in a way started.
Yeah.
Like that idea of just sort of, you're just a Jeff of Lauren. Like that was me approaching him being like, hey, you seem like you have a lot of connections and you seem like you know a lot about the scene and care a lot about the scene. Mm-hmm. I like how much you care about this.
Yeah.
If you want to start a podcast, we'll help you out. Like,
yeah, sure.
That is like so much of it too, is like this process. This is part of the reason why I don't want to cut this out, is like this process of like the creative discussion of things is awesome to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly, which is why you kind of have been a very good person to be in my life, because you encourage me to keep doing it, because there's a few times when I'm like, fuck this. Like,
we started this podcast with you saying, I don't have enough time in my life to do even faces and feels or whatever.
Yeah.
And we ended it with, I might start another podcast.
Now I'm starting an audio documentary of I don't need this fucking Jesus. But
this is why I said you're in my circle of hell. Yeah,
Jesus. But it is, and this again points out the benefit of Count Out in my life and like you, is that like that suddenly became obtainable to me because I know I'm not alone in doing it. You know what I mean? Before I would have been like, it'll just take me forever, and then I'm like, wait, I have Ryan, like, and he gets excited about these things. And so if I could put down the groundwork, I know I could rely on you enjoying the gears and things like that to help me then put it together with editing and things like that, and how we would then deliver that to the world. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
How to sort of put that story together.
Like, is it an ongoing podcast series? Is it a Patreon? Is it an audiobook? Like, what is it? You know, and that's the, because it's kind of different. Like nobody, when I think of audio documentary, I think of like crime podcasts and stuff, like ongoing ones that I listen to that sort of develop over time and things like that. Whereas this would be like or is like the whole case is summed up and they break it down into, you know, 10 episodes and that sort of tells the story, and at the end it's how it all worked out. Like this would almost kind of be like that, where it's like this is season one of this, and it is the journey of this wrestling company.
Title of show : Perth.
Yes,
is what I don't know what the title of show is, but it's that : Perth. Because then that also like opens the door, allows a door open to do other sort of, you know, title of show : Glasgow or Scotland.
Yeah. And then that's a season, and that runs for like, you know, 6 months or whatever it is,
however long it needs to be.
Exactly. And then the next year you go title of show : whatever, and then it's like, oh, this is the next season and blah blah blah, and you change the artwork and you change the thing and blah blah blah. And I kind of enjoy the idea of like, boom, snapshot, this is all done before we even release it. We've created this thing, and then bang, 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 and kind of gets released.
That's how I would put it. That's how I would
pitch it. Absolutely the only way you could do it, because you'd have to complete it, edit it, build it, and it'd take quite a while to get it out.
In some ways, I would almost want it to get it out before like the last episode is done.
Yeah.
Because sometimes like when something goes out there, then people might be interested to be a part of it.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
And then like that definitely happens in like You guys probably don't know, but there's like a very famous crime podcast from Australia called The Teacher's Pet. Have you heard about it?
I mean, it's a crime podcast, so it's like in the wave of things. Sure. I don't think I've heard of it.
Yeah. Well, anyway, and he's it's by this guy called Hedley Thomas. He's like a newspaper reporter for like the Sydney Herald. And it was basically about this like mum who went missing back in like I think the 70s. And her husband sort of like then suddenly marrying the babysitter, like the teenage babysitter, and like just like, you know, essentially disappearing his wife. He was having an affair with the like teen. He was a teacher.
Yeah.
His wife is like a normal woman. They've got a couple of kids and they've got like a, you know, 15-year-old babysitter kind of thing. And he's having an affair with like an underage affair with this girl. Then he disappears his wife. Then he marries the babysitter, but then then moves them somewhere and they basically live in a compound. Then the babysitter escapes and it's all this kind of crazy shit. And it led to this guy legitimately getting arrested. Like, and he's like going through trials and stuff now as like a, you know, 80-year-old man or whatever. And then now he's doing another one called Bronwyn, which is kind of the same thing. Well, not the babysitter aspect, but a wife goes missing, right? But those ones, he'll often take like sort of a break mid-series where he's like the overwhelming amount of people that came out of the woodwork with their sides of the stories or they were in the area at the time and things like that. He's like, I got to go through it. He's like, we're pausing for X amount of weeks or whatever.
Yep.
We've got new evidence. We've got things going on. And like it started with the first few and then it developed over time, like in real time, it changed and ended up like legitimately kind of like solving the crime, I guess. Like, you know,
and obviously, I don't think like that, like,
that's
I don't
not
like
going to happen with this sort of story, but
yeah. I don't think the history of Perth wrestling is going to get as many people coming out of the woodwork as a
disappeared
teacher,
woman,
murder, rugby player.
If it did, though, that could be very interesting,
but I do think it could get. Like awareness of, hey, here's a podcast.
How did you know he was a rugby player? Because I didn't say that.
I Googled it.
Oh, you there you go. See, this is why he's a professional guy. So he was already all over it.
But like that idea of like it would get people out there, you know, and be like, oh, this is a thing.
Yeah.
And then it might help you like open the doors to like other interviews and whatnot. And that's basically where that idea comes from. But yeah. The creative idea and the creations of these sort of things are fascinating to me, and I'm 100% keeping this in because I hope that there'll be – I mean, I'm interested into it, so there's got to be at least some other person that's interested in what we just discussed. Like, the idea of, like, how to create it and, like, us having the literal conversation of, like, all right, well, this is how we might do it and, you know, those sort of things. And that's basically my job here at the network.
Yeah, exactly. So we went from me –
aspect of things real quickly.
Yeah.
Not just that, but also a sounding board.
Yes, absolutely. Which is, to be honest, like I would probably lean on you more, but this is what always happens when we talk about it. I went in it like I've barely got enough time to record next week's interview to now I guess I'm hosting an audio documentary that's going to run over multiple years. Like,
I hear you.
God damn it.
I was on Ichiban Sweetcast talking about Royal Quest 4 and the end of it was me doing a bunch of plugs and then saying, yeah, and I've been trying to get Curtis to do a DDT show on the Patreon and a show about Pancras on the show. And maybe I felt that people want to pressure him into doing this, that would help me out. But like, it's always like me being like, hey, what else can everybody else do?
And, yeah, absolutely.
Part of it is
Curtis should do those things. He would be great at that.
I don't know why he's not. I mean, do it, buddy, you know?
Yeah. He
stop painting those minifigs and get on.
That's what he does. See, that makes him very happy. And so he's always painting and gaming and stuff like that.
No, I don't blame him.
But of the two of us, he has the more time. And you know it's true, Curtis. So do it.
After you're listening to this mother trucker.
He's not going to listen to this. Oh, he might. No. Yeah. Either way, tell everybody where to find all the countout stuff. I reckon we've I'm not going to talk to you any longer than this or we'll have developed another concept and then I'll be fucking even more in debt to you for work.
You're welcome. Yeah, so Ryan Nancy, you can follow me on Twitter, but that's a cesspool that I'm trying to get out of.
Well,
so
it's Nancy. I think I said Nancy when I introduced you, so very sorry.
Literally, buddy.
But we say each other's name Nancy. Wrong all the time. Exactly. Everybody says like Raf instead of Rafe, so that's like how this goes. Yeah.
Everyone says Nancy. There's never not been someone that says Nancy, but it is Nancy. I had a joke in my head and I didn't want to say it. But yeah, you can follow me on Twitter, but don't, because it's accessible. I'm trying to get out of it. But you can follow Countout Network basically on all social media. Just look up Countout Podcast Network and you can probably find us on Twitter at Countout Pod. We're also on Instagram, on Blue Sky, on Threads, on Facebook, and I think that's it. But if you look us up, you can be able to find us. We got a bunch of shows on the network. We obviously have Faces and Feels Cast. If you're listening to this, you've heard the bumper already. So there are other shows on that network, on that bumper. Your Dose of Death is another deathmatch specific interview series we've talked about a lot. If you want more Japanese wrestling, obviously Ichiban Sweet Cast with you and Curtis. We also have All Japan Conversation with Jessica, another Australian, by the way. Talking about All Japan news every month and reviews and all that stuff. And I do a little show called Ring Post Radio, where Sundays at basically 9, 10 a.m., we, for about, I say about 2 hours, but we've been going close to three recently, discussing whatever happened in the wrestling world that past week. I think tomorrow is when we're recording the next episode, but it's already, well, tomorrow when this comes out, or 2 days from now when this comes out, will be another episode of Ring Post Radio. And we'll discuss whatever we're discussing then. But we got, we talk about whatever, everything around the globe. We talk about WWE, talk about AEW, talk about New Japan, we talk about All Japan, anything else that is happening that, you know, curries our interest. We discuss that. So anywhere you get podcasts, we're also on YouTube. You watch our faces for Ring Post Radio. But anyways, we have a YouTube, we have a bunch of stuff. Patreon.com/countoutpod, that's where you get the Patreon. We have two different tiers. The $5 tier gets you everything. The $3 tiers get you first episodes of shows, and then whatever shows came out 2 years ago, they unlock for the $3 tier. You can also go on the free tier and sort of like follow along. You can also, 7-day free trial will get you 7 days of free audio and video, so you can watch or listen to that stuff. I've done a bunch of series on that. I've been doing a series all year long called The Ballot, where I've been going over the first time people on the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame ballot. I had a show called Best of the Bosch. I'm going to be doing that again, you know, when the Best of Super Juniors is around the corner next year. We're talking about Best of Super Juniors Finals, Mascara Madness. I have two shows I'm planning on doing next year. I don't have a title for it, but it's going to be some show about John Cena since he is retiring next year. And I have another show where I'm going to look at like the similar way what you're just discussing. It won't be like a documentary, it'll be like me reviewing matches and whatnot, but a specific territory for a specific year. And I'm going to discuss the year of that territory all year long is the plan. So I have that started, and I have, so there's a lot of stuff coming down the pike for me at the very least, but obviously other people contribute other things to the Patreon. A lot of plugs. I think that's everything I got in my bag. I do a lot of stuff.
You do.
So that's everything in my bag, I think. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. I hope people enjoyed this. I hope people, if people like what is happening here on Faces and Feels Cast, I feel confident you would like what is happening on the other podcasts. Mm-hmm. And if you have other wrestling podcasts, you're doing one, or you have an idea for one, My DMs are always open, or at least they should be, unless Elon Musk turned them off for some dumb fucking reason.
And in which case, if you don't hear back from Ryan, message me. But
hey,
if you're listening to Faces and Feels, you obviously know Ryan has good taste in podcasts, and so everybody else is of equal quality. So there you go. Countout Network is where to find all your fix of all the different wrestling bits and pieces.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for doing this for me, man. This has been very fun. I kind of hate you a little bit because now I'm like inspired to go do this other thing that I do not have time to do, but I think it, I think it's going to be good. And we'll,
That's my job, baby.
He's feeling good about it. I need to go find the original recording. That's what I need to do before I begin. I'm sure it's around somewhere, but if it's not, back to square one, but that's okay. We could.
It's on some SD card that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's on a cloud somewhere, actually. So.
Oh, you just got to pick the right. I was going to name Nimbus. Yeah. Is that a cloud?
Yeah. No, no. It'll be on a drive. It'll be on a Google Drive. It'll just be, yeah, which one is it? And hopefully I didn't delete it. So, yeah. But I'll look it out and we'll do that. So. Nobody keep your breath too bated about that, because even if we are going ahead, it's going to take time. So it'll be a while.
Next year, coming at you live, 2025.
Yeah, 2025, this time next year. October.
I'm not even going to hold us to that.
Yeah, exactly. Don't even know. Maybe I'll update people on it if it is forging forward. But yeah, either way, don't rip it off. Thank you to Ryan for coming on and knocking out this quick episode. And, yeah, stay tuned to Everything Faces and Feels, because it's all about peace, love, and pro wrestling. Peace out. Thanks for listening. Faces and Feels is a proud member of the Count Out Podcasting Network. It is created and hosted by me, Rafe Houston, edited by myself and the amazing Ryan Neitzy, and the show is available on all good podcast platforms, so please go rate and subscribe. You can follow the show everywhere on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, etc. at Faces Feels Cast. And you can check out the Count Out Network and all our sister shows over there at Count Out Pod. If you'd like to book me for commentary, have an interview request, a topic suggestion, or you just want to say hi, you can email us at facesandfeels@gmail.com. With all that said, thanks for listening, and please support our friends and sponsors. Peace.
My body is a roadmap of pain.
DeathmatchWorldwide.com, the official online merchandise store that is only for Deathmatch Wrestling. Featuring official t-shirts from No Peace Underground, John Wayne Murdoch, Akira, Madman Pondo, Zona 23, Neil Diamond Cutter, G. Raver, Schlack, Necro Butcher, and many more. If you are a deathmatch wrestler, promotion, manager, or platform, and are interested in joining the web store, send us an email to deathmatchworldwide@yahoo.com. Deathmatchworldwide.com for the violent view.
This has been a Count Out Podcast.
Hey. Have you guys heard of the new show on the Countout Network, the Ichiban Sweetcast?
It's the brand new Japan Pro Wrestling podcast starring the International Wrestling Grand Prix. That's me, your good friend Curtis Spears.
And me, your bad friend Rafe Houston. And we're here to talk about everything New Japan Pro Wrestling, reacting to everything, getting worked up, getting very happy, sometimes crying. Kind of like something else we used to do, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was the old Okada Shorts podcast, right?
Ah, that's right. And if you love that show, you're going to love this show, because it's exactly the same show.
Yeah, we just had to change the name.
Yeah, we did. But you can check it everywhere on a social media handle that we haven't made yet.
Yeah, we're really new to this. So what you can do is search on your favorite podcast catcher of choice. Look for the Ichiban Sweetcast.
Sweetcast, Ichiban.